This is Gideon Lassin, and this is a responsible day for the 24th of Nisan. With thanks to the OU, to Rabbi Jacob Bramowitz, to David Hachazer for putting these shirim online for you to, I hope, enjoy. Today we're going to see a tshuva of the Chatam Sofer, which is printed in the Kovetz Tshuvot, which is like the collection of his tshuvot in a separate volume, or at the end of the volume, Siman Chet, responsible number 8. It's dated the 24th of Nisan of Tuf Kuf Tzadi Chet of 1838. And he's responding to a question about writing people's names down for tzedakah purposes and for giving out portion to them their tzedakah portions. So he says, first of all, I'm sorry to hear that there are Jews who are suffering or are in need. Obviously, there were Jews in his town who were in need as well, but he just starts off by saying, you know, I'm sorry to hear that you also, where you are, in I think it's Amsterdam, but where you are, also you're in need. He says, but it's not new to me because I've also already gotten a kunshus, like a long essay that was printed in Amsterdam at least, which talks about all these kinds of issues and problems that there are that you have in front of you, which was that you have a group of people who are needy, and what your practice was to write down in your pinkase, in your notebook, in your public communal notebook, who's going to get how much from the people who give money. Right? There are donors and there are recipients. So in the recipients, they write down the names of recipients, and then on the side of it, they write down how much that person is slated to receive, how many children they have, how many wives they have, you know, not how many wives, but whether they have wives, and how many children they have, and how much money, therefore, they're going to get. So the question is, in enumerating people like that, meaning if you have a certain amount of money to give out, and you're counting the number of people in a family in order to find out how much to give them, does that violate the Gemara and Yoma on Chav Bet Amid Bet, which says we're not allowed to count the Jewish people? And that's the topic at hand. We have a Gemara that says you can't count the Jewish people. Does this count as counting? Is this a problem of counting? So the Chatam Sofer agrees with the man who had written to him that since you're not counting people here, what you're doing is you're putting a note by the side of their name saying how much they're going to get from the communal pot in terms of donations that have been given. He thinks that that's fine. So and he thinks it fits. There's a Mishnah in Shabbat on Kuf Mem Chet Amid Bet that the man who was writing to him had also included in the letter. A reminder that people who write letters to ask questions didn't just ask the question. To the extent possible, they made clear what they did know about it and what they had already researched, had already done. Meaning, it's somewhat not appropriate to turn to a man of the Chatam Sofer stature and a man of his... he's got busy things going on. He's got learning to do. He's got his own community to run. He's got lots of things going on. So you just sit and say, what's the halacha here? You want to make clear that you did your best to try to figure it out, and yet you still have issues. So this man had noted this Mishnah in Shabbat, which says, Modne adam et orchavet parpirotav mipiv avalomin aktav shemi yichtov ayimcho. So the Gemara in Shabbat is worried about the problem of a person might be tempted to write or might forget and write things down on Shabbat. So they said that when you're counting your guests, you know, and the amount of portions you have, right? You're sitting in the kitchen, let's say, and you've made in your putting together a serving plate. You want to have on the serving plate enough meat for all the guests at the table. So, you know, you have, let's say, I don't know, ribs or chicken or steak, whatever you have in your serving, or rice. And you want to make sure you have enough portion for everybody. So the Mishnah says that you can count it orally, but you shouldn't have a list in front of you, because the worry is you have a list in front of you, your temptation will be to mark things off the list as you go by. So that's what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah is worried about writing on Shabbos issues, but apparently the Mishnah doesn't care about the minyan issues, but the issue of counting. And the reason is, says the Chatam Sofer, that you're not counting them, right? It's not that you're saying, oh, I want to count 7 Jews here at the table. It's that you're saying, this portion will go to that one, and this portion will go to that one, this portion will go to that one. So even if it's true that you say, there are 7, and I've got 7 portions, you're fundamentally not looking to count them for the purpose of counting. You're counting them for the purpose of matching them up to the amount of food that you're serving. So that is better than, that's even better than, what we often think we do in terms of getting a population count of the Jewish people, is that everybody gives a chatzi shekel, a machzit shekel, and then you count up the number of machatziot shekel, the number of half shekels, and you figure out how many Jews you have. So there you are actually counting for the purpose of getting a count, and that will be maybe some issues, and we'll get to that a little bit later, of whether you're allowed to do that or not. But we'll get to his view of that in a second. But this is even better, he says, because even though it might look like you're counting them, you're not really counting them for any purpose, because all you're really doing is matching them up to the portion. And that would be true for the tzedakah purposes as well. We're not counting these Jews to know how many Jews there are. We're counting them to match them up to the amounts of money that we have in order to create that correspondence. Now, the man in the letter had written, he said that, maybe there's a distinction also between where you count heads, right? So that might be unacceptable because that's really counting people. Whereas let's say you count fingers. And part of the reason why he thought this was because there is a Mishnah that talks about when you wanted to assign certain duties and certain responsibilities in the Beit HaMikdash, that the Kohanim would put out some number of fingers and then you would count the fingers of them as you got your way to figuring out who would do which, who would have which responsibility that day, who would fulfill which function that day. See, the suggestion, the idea was maybe by counting fingers, I'm doing something different. So the Chassam Sofer says, no, that's not true. There is no such thing because it's all the same as counting Jews. When the Torah refers to Jews as gulgolet by their heads, you might say to yourself, oh, see, the head sort of represents the person. So if I count people or I count heads, that's counting people as well, because that's what represents the person. But you might think to yourself, but when I'm counting fingers, I'm not counting the person, I'm just counting the fingers. Maybe that's better. I'm counting legs. Maybe that's better. There might be a way to avoid the problem of counting Jews. So the Chatam Sofer says, no, it's not true, because we see in the Torah, yes, sometimes they refer to the Jews as gulgolet, but that's when the Jews are important, and Hashem is happy with them, so therefore they're referred to in an important way. But b'kshat ka'aso, when it's a time of anger, when the Jews have done something wrong, or somebody is upset with them, so Moshe Rabbeinu in Bamidbar, Yud Aleph, Kaf Aleph, says, Shesh Meot Elef Ragli Asher Anochi Bekirbo, there are 600,000 legs of the people among whom I am living. So that shows you that you can also refer to the person by a body part, and that refers to the entire body, and therefore that shouldn't be a distinction. So where we have a problem of counting Jews, counting by their, right? So people, I think, say today, oh, I'll count heads. So that's a problem. So today we get around that. I think people get around it, but they say, I count not by numbers, but I count by the pasuk of Hoshiat HaMech HaVarech HaNechlatecha, and therefore I'm not counting. That might be okay. But if you said to yourself, I'm just counting fingers, that seems not, the Chasam Sofer seems to think that's not okay. Then he points to a long Ramban at the beginning of Parashat Ki Tisa in Shmot, Perek Lamed, verse Yud Bet, verse 12 in Shmot, where the Ramban, so that's the Torah starts off by saying, when you're going to count the Jewish people, count them by a machzit ha-shekel. So it sounds like if you use a machzit ha-shekel to do it, then you're okay, because you're just counting machatziot ha-shekel, you're counting half shekels, you're not counting the people. So there is a story in Nach where David tells Yoav to count the Jewish people, and Yoav says, we shouldn't do that, Hashem should multiply them more and more, and then they count, and he orders them to count them anyway, and they count them anyway, and then a plague breaks out. So the Ramban, in that comment on Shmot, where the Torah requires doing it with a machatzit shekel, has a long discussion of David HaMelech's mistake. And then later in the discussion by Midbar, in the beginning by Midbar, where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to count the Jewish people again, the Ramban discusses it again and gives other reasons. And in conclusion, he says, Lefi divrei Razal ta'u kulam. According to the way Chazal talk about the problem and the issue of counting Jews, they all made a mistake. Hainu Yoav gam kein sheta'a b'pashtut akra, that Yoav also made a mistake about what it means. And Yoav also didn't remember what Tinokut Shel Beit Rabban, what school children know, that Hashem wanted David to count the people, and he wanted David to count the people so that he could punish David, because Hashem wanted to punish the people. In other words, the Ramban says, this is what the Chatam Sofer summarizes, that as long as the count was done litzorech lo chasru, that really you don't actually need, the Chatam Sofer thinks, the Ramban means, the machatzit shekel, the half shekel to count the Jewish people. It's whether or not there's a need to count the Jewish people. Where there's a need to count the Jewish people, then there's not going to be a problem. There won't be a plague. It's not an issue of, oh, you got the Jewish people, there's a plague or there's a problem. It's if they're counted unnecessarily. When they're counted unnecessarily, then there's a problem, says the Ramban, even if they use the machatzit shekel. It's not the machatzit shekel, it's a magic and it gets you around the problem. It's that it depends whether it's counting necessarily or not necessarily. So, b'chudushei Torah Shali, in my Torah commentary, the Chatam Sofer says, when it comes to Meraglim, so the Torah says that any Jew who's 20 years and older won't get into the land of Israel. So the Chatam Sofer was bothered by that. Why would the standard be the 20 years and older? The 19-year-olds who complained didn't sin? So that's a broad question. That is actually not as strong a question as it sounds like, because I think the answer to that theoretically could be that Hashem doesn't punish those who are under 20. We have a tradition in the Gemara that the Beit Din Shalmala, the heavenly court, doesn't punish people until the age of 20. So then the answer could be, yeah, they are by the heavenly court standards not yet liable for their actions. That's actually, from my perspective, I'm taking a brief digression, very brief, I hope, to point out that actually raises the question of whether and how people have or have not changed in terms of adolescence and things like that since the time of the Torah. I think that many people would look around and say people grew up today in a very different way than they used to grow up, and I think there's room to say that about lots of issues and lots of things, but the Gemara already recognizes, and it gets it, and it seems to see it in the Torah, that until the age of 20, Hashem doesn't hold us fully liable for our actions. To me, that implies that even back then, there was a recognition that for all that adulthood is achieved at 13 and 12 and 13, boys and girls, young women and young men at 12, boys at young men at 13, that halachic adulthood does not mean the person is a complete adult, that there's a recognition, there's a maturity process that occurs. And to me, that's very interesting also because it's true even at a time when we think people died much younger than they used to die. It's part of this, I have other sources that I'm not going to get into now, this idea that I think is implicit in many halakhic sources that the process of growing to maturity was much more similar to today's process than we might tend to realize. In any case, so the Chazal Sofer's question is, so what about the 19-year-olds? Why wouldn't they also punish the Chayim Raglim? It sounds like they can get into Israel and they're fine and they're no problem, and why should that be? And also, forget that. If you're going to base it, it seems to be based on the count that we had from the first of Iyar. So if the Miraglim's punishment accrues to all those who are 20 in that count, but aren't there a lot of people who became 20 in between, right? The Miraglim's sin happened on the 9th of Av. That's how we get, that's the Chazal's reading of it anyway, right? That's why Tisha B'Av becomes this day of Bichya L'Dorot, this day of crying for all generations. The Jews cried when they weren't supposed to. So there are the 20-year-olds who were 20 but didn't get punished because they weren't part of that count. He's also bothered, and this I think is a really interesting question because one that I wouldn't think people would think of. He's bothered by the fact that the punishment is the exact same for everybody. That they die before they hit the age of 60, or they die at the age of 60 in the desert. So those who were 60 that year would die then, and then the 20-year-olds would die, you know, on the 40th year in the desert. But he says he's bothered by that because we usually think that when several different people do the same mitzvah or the same sin, they don't get the same exact reward and punishment because Hashem knows the internal aspect of each of them, right? That, to me, that's a brilliant point that we don't pay attention to, right? Two people put on tefillin. Should they get the exact same reward for putting on tefillin? So maybe you'll tell me the act of putting on tefillin gets X reward and everybody should get that. Okay. But one person puts on tefillin with all the attention in the world, with the right motives, with this, this, this. And the other person does it as a cultural thing, doesn't even maybe, God forbid, even believe in Hashem. They're going to get the exact same reward. And in the reverse, the same thing is true of sin. One person knows exactly what he's doing wrong and exactly what Hashem commanded and exactly how Hashem wants it to be done and does it anyway, knowing what he's doing and not caring, or maybe even, God forbid, the hachis is doing it specifically to make a point about God. And the other one didn't learn in school well enough to realize this was a sin. They're going to get the same punishment. So there, too, now back in the Chasam Sofer, he seems to say, so why would it be that when the Meraglim come back and they all cry, the meaning of those cries should be different for each of them? Probably was different for many, many of them, right? Everybody's got their own internal situation, and Hashem knows all that. And we generally assume that Hashem takes all that into account in terms of how Hashem reacts to things. To me, that's not only a brilliant point for our discussion here, it's a brilliant point because it gets into the question of the opinion some people have of why does so-and-so's life turn out such and such way, and so-and-so's life turns out such and such a way, and part of the answer always is that there's all this elements of an act that we don't know. We see one person give $1 million to tzedakah, and then life doesn't go well for them. We think, how could that be? And another person gives the same $1 million, and all of a sudden life goes better. So all of this stuff, he's saying, there's all this stuff that we don't know about and we can't understand, we can't see from our and our perspective. How does that get into our question here? So just to come back to the Miraglim. You have all the entire Jewish people hear the report of the spies. They all decide to cry that night and say, we should go back to Egypt. Why did Hashem take us out? Hashem is unhappy with the crying. He thinks it's a problem and punishable. Here we get to the problem. Shouldn't the punishment be that each person gets the punishment appropriate to them? So you could answer as a national crime, it got a national punishment without paying attention to this, that they're getting punished for their participation in the national crime. It could have been an answer. Chatzam Sofer's answer instead is, Shalometu ba'onesh klal. This death in the desert wasn't a punishment. Right? The death in the desert got rid of the need for a punishment, but It wasn't in fact a punishment. We'll come back to what it was in a second. So he says the 19-year-olds, he thinks, in fact, probably suffered and got punishments of various sort, each one according to how Hashem evaluated them. Now, like I said before, I think you could have argued that under 20 isn't an age where you got that. But you could say, but he says the 20-year-olds and above, they died naturally. Why did they die naturally? So they died naturally because they were counted for no purpose. Why is it for no purpose? See, here's the answer. He says, the next generation, at the end of Bamidbar, they're counted again in Parshat Pinchas. You know why they're counted in Parshat Pinchas? In chapter 26 of Bamidbar, they're counted so we can know to whom to give the land of Israel. Right? That's the purpose of the count there. So there's a reason for the count. The count is, we're on the verge of going into Israel. We need to know how many Jews there are to know who gets what portion, to know to how many people we have to apportion the land of Israel. Back in Bamidbar, the Ramban wrote that that was the same need. They were planning on going to Israel immediately in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, and therefore the counting was for a need. So therefore, once it was for a need, it was okay to count them, and you can count to them. But once it turned out they weren't going to get into Israel because they rejected it, and Hashem said, fine, if you reject it, you're not going there, then the counting was all of a sudden unnecessary, and therefore they all died with the magefa, with the plague that attaches to people who are counted unnecessarily. So that to me is a remarkable claim. I'm not even saying that I think it's true or not true. I don't even know what I think about it. I think it's such an interesting thing. He's saying that you look at the Torah, what you think is the answer is that they cried. They're told they're not going to the land, and therefore they're going to die before the age of 60, before they get into the land, they're all going to die, and that's the punishment. He's saying it's not the punishment. He's saying what happens is, when you count Jews, it has to be for a necessary purpose, and if it's a necessary purpose, then nothing problematic goes wrong. But if it's not for a necessary purpose, then a plague attaches to it. He doesn't get into the mechanics of why that is. It's just the way the Jewish people work. When the Jewish people are counted unnecessarily, a plague attaches to them. So when they're counted at the beginning of Bamidbar, you think it's necessary because they're about to enter Israel. We need to know how many Jews there are to apportion the land. That's true. But then when they send the spies, and the spies come back, and they complain about it, and they reject the land, so the punishment, as it were, part of the reaction is, fine, you don't want the land of Israel, you don't get to go into the land of Israel. Now, maybe there should have been a punishment of some other sort, but in fact, once they don't go into the land of Israel, that brings with it a plague to them that's going to cause them all to die because they've now been counted unnecessarily. The Levim, however, were counted, but they were counted for the purposes of building the Mishkan and knowing what their job was in the Mishkan, so that's a purpose. So that didn't change, that didn't go away, and that's why they didn't have this problem. According to some sources, they didn't have this problem of dying in the desert. Rashi and Chumash actually think something else, but I'm not going to get into it. But the Chatzim Sofer is saying that explains why they didn't die. And now you know why the 19-year-olds who were 20 by the time of Tisha B'Av, so they rejected Eretz Yisrael just as much as anybody else. Why don't we say that they would have died in the plague as well? The answer is because they weren't part of that first count. Why do I care that they weren't part of that first count? Right? Because the first point was, the fact they weren't part of the first count as a punishment question makes no sense. They were part of the sin. They were 20 at the sin. They certainly should have been punished. So the answer is because the Torah doesn't tell us what the punishment is for having cried. The Torah tells us that those who were counted had a problem. These 19-year-olds who turned 20 didn't have that problem because they weren't counted. So if they sinned, he says, "Mistama nisham Hashem yitbarach." For sure they got punished, either in this world or the other world, or that maybe they did tshuva and therefore they avoided the punishment. But none of that is what the Torah's point is, because the Torah's not making a point about punishment. The Torah's making a point about, now that you've rejected Israel, aren't going in, the count has become unnecessary. Once the count became unnecessary, these people have this plague, and what this plague does is it kills you before the age of 60. That's a whole interesting thing about how a plague works or doesn't work in our view of what kinds of plagues there would be out there. Can you imagine doctors today thinking about a plague whose cause, let's say, is having been counted, and the way this plague works is that it attaches to you, and before the age of 60, you pass away. That would be an odd kind of a plague, but that's the kind of plague the Chatam Sofer is envisioning here, and it was what happened to the Jews in the desert. Now, going back to David HaMelech, when David HaMelech wants to count them, he has no real purpose to count them. And so that's the problem. So the truth is, even if they give a machzit shekel there, and they're going to count the shekalim and not the Jews, it's not going to happen, because it's not going to help, because the counting is for no tzorech. And he thinks that David HaMelech made the mistake. He thought that a minyan tzorech is what needs shkalim, but if you're going to count them without any need, you don't need any shkalim. And he just made a mistake about it. And he says, the Chazon Sofer says, but elementary school children know that that's not true, because they learn in school that with the Meraglim, with the spies, they were all counted by their numbers, because it all turned out to be Lo Litzorch, for an unnecessary counting, and therefore it proves it the opposite way. But David and his men all made this mistake. But if he's right, says the Chazon Sofer, so what's this whole point of counting with something? If we're talking about a counting Litzorch, there's a need for it, and the need is what makes it okay to count it, then why should there be any reason to count with Shkalim, let's say, or with, there's a case in Sefer Shmuel where Shaul King counts with Tzla'im. So Tzla'im might be a place, but one way to read it is he counted with sheep. He had people given sheep, or you count fingers, right? Why does that help at all? So he says, because he thinks the reason it helps is that sometimes people don't put out a finger, or they put out two fingers by accident, or they don't give a shekel, or their shekel gets lost, and the person counting doesn't realize it, and therefore the count isn't completely exact. Elanu machazikimu ma'aminim ka'ashir lo yarbeh v'adah lo yamit u'michazak kazu ani yodim mispar ha'am. But we know that it's not completely exact. In other words, we trust. Everybody's giving, we're counting it fundamentally, we're getting pretty much the right numbers, but by virtue of using objects, we insert a certain level of uncertainty into the process, and therefore, the Chazon Sofer thinks that's why we do it, because then at least we don't completely, even where there's a need, we don't just get into the mistake or the trap of completely counting the Jewish people. We count it by using objects, and that puts at least a little bit of uncertainty so that we don't say to ourselves, we're fully counting the Jewish people. He points out that the Gemara in Yoma, when it's talking about this prohibition, doesn't mention the Machzid HaShekel as the proof that we shouldn't count. They bring a pasuk from Shmuel, and therefore it's assumed to be a mitzvah mechudesh midivrei Kabbalah. It's a mitzvah from the Nevi'im, right? There are different standards of mitzvot. There's Torah mitzvahs, there are rabbinic mitzvot, and then in between there are other kinds of levels of mitzvah, and one of them is mitzvah medivrei Kabbalah, that we find something in Navi that we don't think it's completely new, because we don't think Navim generally legislate halacha, but we understand that that is the level of sourcing that it has. And it's the source for this idea that even when we're counting Litzorech, there's a need for some kind of an intermediary to make it not so exact and provide some sort of kapara, some sort of prevention or protection for us, that the count shouldn't lead to a plague and to a problem for the Jewish people. Sum total, says the Chazon Sofer, with no need, you're not allowed to count, and it doesn't matter how you count the people. There's no need to count the people, you shouldn't be counting the Jewish people. Just leave it and assume that Hashem will help us, you know, increase our numbers and bless us, and we'll have a productive and healthy and multiplying Jewish people. And if there's a need, and you can't use a lot for it, right? You can't just do it by a goral in some way. So then you want that people should provide something that will provide some kind of a kapara, and therefore that it will protect them in that sense, and the need plus the kapar will be a help. And then if it's a tzorach for mitzvah, if it's a mitzvah need and you're doing a goral, you're not really counting them, you're counting to find out who's going to do what, so then you don't need a kapara, so you just cut your fingers and you can do it that way, and you'll do it, and you'll count in a way that will provide some kind of uncertainty in the process. But coming back to our question, in terms of counting who will get what portion, so that's matching to matching, and that's not counting at all, and therefore here too, where there are Jews who need, who have financial needs, and we're not counting them for any purpose, we're just assigning the donated money to the various people, he thinks it's fine to do it in the way that it said, to make a note by the side. In the notes on the bottom, the Chatam Sofer also points out that Rabbi Akiva Eger, this doesn't sound like it's connected, but it actually is, Rabbi Akiva Eger had said that since writing is not like speaking, we generally don't think that writing is like speaking, so therefore, if somebody writes down what number day it is in Sfirat HaOmer, you're not Yotze. You don't fulfill your obligation, right? So, this 23rd of Nisan is some day of the Omer. I don't is the 7th or 8th day of the Omer. Let's say you wrote down Hayom Yom, you know, Shmoni Hayom Shmoni. I mean, but Omer today is 8 days in the Omer, and which is 1 week in 1 day. You write it all down. Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't work because writing isn't speaking. But the Chatam Sofer commented, so this is in the notes to the Kovetz Tshuvot, and the editor has found it in notes that the Chatam Sofer written elsewhere. He wrote it in a letter he wrote to that was published in a certain place, and he gives you the whole reference to it. So the Chatam Sofer and the Tav Sofer reports that his father said this, right, that I found in The Ketav Sofer, who's the grandson of Rabbi Kiva Eger and the son of the Chatam Sofer, because the Ketav Sofer, who's only a year and a half younger than than Rabbi Kiva Eger, marries his daughter, and they have the Ketav Sofer. So he writes, I saw that my grandfather wrote X, and then my father writes, and I want to copy it here, so you have the Ketav Sofer as well. So he says, he thinks, the Chatam Sofer thinks, based on Yoma, this Gemara that we've been referring to, that somebody counts the Jewish people, violates a lo ta'aseh, violates prohibition of lo yimad v'lo yisafer. He's quoting a different pasuk, right? The Chatam Sofer pointed out that Yoma refers to a pasuk in Shmuel. This is a pasuk in Hosea, that the Jewish people shouldn't be counted. Shma mina afila kotev. It sounds like even if you write it down, the Chatam Sofer says, di lav achi, lama le bezek utzla'im l'shol ha-melech. Why does Shol ha-melech use sheep to count the Jewish people? Why shouldn't he just have written down the numbers, not say it anything, just written it? And Yoav also, when David forces him to count the Jewish people, why didn't Yoav, and Yoav at first objects, why didn't he just do it in writing? And the Ramban had asked that question in Chumash, said, why didn't you just collect Shkalim and count the Shkalim, which Yoav seems to be upset about doing. So the answer is, it seems like it always violates the lav. Because when Hosea says, lo yimad v'lo yisafir, it sounds like even in writing. So if that's true, and there's reason to think it's true, because also in the Gemara they say, they wondered about there's double use of the word number, and they say, why don't you say one is by writing and one is orally? Since they don't, it sounds like there's no difference between them for that purposes. So it sounds like even if in general Ketiva, writing, is not Ketiva, right? And everybody agrees, for example, that if I wrote down Shmone Esrei, that's not like I said it. It's not like I davened that day. Even if I wrote it down with requests, if I wrote it down and didn't say it, that's not speaking. So that point, everybody agrees with Kiva Eger got right. Chatam Sofer suggesting, though, that when it comes to counting, it might be different. And we know that from the discussion we've been having today about counting the Jewish people, where it seems like counting is no better than anything else, because if it was, then all these people should have just written it. Now, again, you could argue, well, they didn't have enough paper to write it down, and they didn't want to do it that way, because it's a waste of parchment. But the Chatam Sofer is inferring that writing doesn't help, because writing is, in this case, for counting purposes, just like speaking. If that's true, in terms of that, coming back to Mickey Baker's claim about Sfirat Omer, about counting the Omer, it seems like the Chatam Sofer thought maybe you should be able to, because he's just said counting or writing a count seems to be the same as articulating a count. So if that's true, then counting for Sfirat Omer should work as well. So this is a note. This note does not connect it specifically to it connects to our tshuva because it puts it as a note on our tshuva. I just wonder whether it's written around the same time, because this isn't the time of Sfirat Omer, and that and the Chatam Sofer came to see it in Tavkot Tzadikhei, which is the time, the date of, which is before the date of our tshuva that we have. So I wonder whether or not this is a discussion that Chatam Sofer was having about broadly on his mind in this time. So two different kinds of counting, and whether or not writing would affect that counting. One is the counting of the Jewish people, and that's the tshuva that he writes, where he says writing down who gets what doesn't count as counting the Jewish people. It's not a function of counting the Jewish people, and therefore it's not a problem. And you don't have to worry about all these issues of counting, which we've gone into. And then from there, from that idea, he says, once you see that counting and writing is not counting for those purposes, I'm sorry, counting and writing would be counting. The reason it's not counting in those purposes was because it's not really counting. It's just apportioning food to people or money to people. But if it was counting, then counting and writing is counting, is what his claim. I apologize for getting that wrong for a second. And that's why it didn't work for Yoav or Shaul and all those people. If that's true, once you say that counting is different than other things about writing down not being speech, that might be true good for Sfirat Omer as well. Of course, it's possibly that's not true. It's possible that you could have argued, and Mikiv Eger could perhaps have responded if he had ever discussed it, that he would say, no, the reason that writing, the counting with writing is just as much of a problem as counting or articulating is because there, the whole point is finding out the number. So if you find out the number of the Jewish people, you've done the wrong thing. Whereas with counting the Omer, the point isn't finding out the number. We all know what the number is. The point is just articulating the number. And there it might be that writing is not the same as articulating. So I think Rabbi Akiva Eger could easily have had a response to this question. But that's where we have it. That's where we're going to leave it. That is a response of the day for the 24th of Nisan of 1838. Chatam Sofer on problems and issues with counting the Jewish people and counting Jews in terms of apportioning tzedakah to them and otherwise for need and not for need, and the difference between natural results and punishment and what comes from them. Response of the day. Thanks to the OU. Thanks to Rabbi Jacob Brownwitz. Thanks to David Hochhauser. Have a great day.